Hey guys, coming up today on Sports Spectrum, Jacob Stallings, Major League Baseball Gold Glove catcher from back in 2021. He is now with the Colorado Rockies, signed with them in January of this year, 2024. The last few years, he was with the Miami Marlins. He helped the team to a playoff berth in 2023. He also had a really unique experience in May of last year, 2023, as a catcher coming in to pitch. And not only did he pitch, he faced the National League Player of the Month, Ronald Acuña Jr., with the Braves, and he struck him out on four pitches. So we had to ask him about that. Certainly, we're going to ask him about his faith as well, winning a Gold Glove, making his Major League debut way back in 2016 when he was with the Pittsburgh Pirates, where he spent 5 years with the Pirates, six seasons before coming to the Marlins, and now with the Colorado Rockies. Lots to talk about with Jacob Stallings. Faith, baseball, some great stories here. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. With spring training underway, how great does it get this month, the month of March, one of my favorite months in sports? March Madness, we have spring training, we have the NBA, we have the NHL. It's a great time of year for sports. So it's great to talk to Jacob Stallings today on Sports Spectrum. It's coming up in just a moment. First, hey, want to remind you to get the Sports Spectrum magazine. If you haven't subscribed yet, you are missing out. It's one of the best things that we do. Faith-filled, family-friendly content, clean content for the kids, great stories, devotionals. Subscribe today over at sportspectrum.com. When you check out and you get that one-year subscription, put in the code PODCAST15, PODCAST15. It's something we mention almost on every podcast because we really believe in the value of the magazine and certainly want to give you an exclusive discount to subscribing to that magazine by listening to our podcast. 15% off. Use the code PODCAST15, PODCAST15, and subscribe to a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. You can do that today right now at sportsspectrum.com. He is Jacob Stallings, Major League Baseball catcher. Hey, Jacob, welcome to Sports Spectrum.
Thanks. How's it going?
It's going well. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah. Love that we're doing this in person. We're able to tape an interview in person at a conference here in Florida, and it's just always better when we can have conversations in person, and I can look at you and see you.
I think
you
we're all sick of Zoom.
Yeah,
at this point.
I don't mind Zoom. I get Zoom. I know what it's about, and we do a lot of our interviews on Zoom, but in person is just so much better. Let's go through your journey a little bit. Let's start. I think the best place to start is with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much every interview I've realized now going forward, it's like we need to start with the Lord first. So Jesus in your life, who is he? And tell me about, you know, the importance of Christ.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I am second, you know, that's kind of like, that's just,
yes.
Christ is first. And, you know, I've had a little bit of a unique faith journey, grew up going to Catholic church and, mm-hmm. So I grew up in the church, but it really wasn't until my senior year of high school. I went to a Christian high school, so I was around it. You know, I was fortunate enough to be around it all my life. But my senior year of high school is when I really started asking questions. But still, you know, it still wasn't that personal relationship. The interest was there, but mm-hmm. I didn't have that breakthrough moment till my freshman year of college. I'll never forget it. We were just in the locker room one day.
University of North Carolina.
University of North Carolina, yep. And I walk in, and one of my senior teammates is actually talking to Kyle Seager, who played in the big leagues for a long time. And I just kind of, they're having a conversation. I'm just, my locker is right next to theirs. So, but Mike, who's now a pastor down in North Carolina, he is talking about this book that he has, and it's More Than a Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going through like More Than a Carpenter, and I'm a big history guy. And so, you know, going through the historical facts that, you know, there's no debate whether Jesus walked the earth. Like
right.
that
he
is
was a
historical
real
fact.
Yeah. Yes.
And so he's just kind of going through this book, like he's either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord.
Yes.
And other than the Bible, I mean, whoever listens to this, I would highly suggest reading More Than a Carpenter. It's the most influential book in my faith other than the Bible, and it's a great read. So anyway, that was really my breakthrough moment as a believer, and I got real involved with AIA at North Carolina. And you know, I tell this funny story. So my rookie year, so I got called up for the first time in 2016, got sent back down. I actually got sent home when the AAA season ended in September. And about a week later, our assistant GM calls because we had a catcher injury. And he was like, "Hey, you've been working out, hitting, staying ready?" And I hadn't been doing anything, but I was like, "Yeah, you know, done a few body weight workouts. I'm ready. Yeah, let's go." So I get called back up, and I don't play for 2 weeks. And, you know, in terms of on the field, I had never really, I really didn't go to Christ that much. Like, you know, I just didn't, I didn't pray that much. I didn't lean on him during games up until that point. And so anyway, we're playing the Washington Nationals in 2016, and it's extra innings. I'm the last guy on the bench, and our bench coach comes up, like, "Hey, you'll hit this inning if the spot gets to the pitcher spot." So I'm doing the math in my head, and I'm like, "Okay, so only chance I'll hit is bases loaded, two outs." And so I'm like, "I'm probably not going to hit." And sure enough, the inning starts to unfold. But anyway, so I'm out on deck, bases are loaded, one out, and our hitting coach, like, is telling me about the pitcher, and he pulls me back. He's like, "Hey, don't be nervous." And I'm like,
is that the last thing to tell somebody?
I'm like, how am I supposed to not be nervous right now? I'm about to come out with a bases loaded, two outs.
Right.
But I'm just on deck, and my heart is just pounding out of my chest. And I just start praying. And I'm just like, "Lord, like, please, please be with me. Like, just be with me. I don't know what I need right now, but whatever I need, just please be with me." And so go up to the batter's box. I foul the first pitch off. I'm like, "All right, at least I know I can hit the ball," because I hadn't had an at bat in like 4 weeks up until this point. A long at bat, but in between every pitch, just took a deep breath and said a little prayer, like, "Lord, please be with me in this pitch." And this would be a way worse story if I ended up striking out, but get to 3-2 count. I hit a walk-off line drive into left field. And ever since then.
Was that your first big league hit?
No, it was my second big
second
league hit.
Second big league hit, the walk-off.
Yeah. Yeah.
RBI hit, yeah. And extra innings.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, you know, just that was obviously an amazing moment for me baseball-wise, but I also felt like it was a breakthrough moment for me spiritually. Because that's when I really started to lean on the Lord in the baseball realm. Like, we had Bible studies, and I, you know, had a lot of conversations with teammates and that sort of thing. But when I really brought him over onto the field with me, it just helped me tremendously, not only on the field, but in my faith.
Wow. What a great story. I love that here. It's so cool how you told that story. All I did was ask you, you know, Christ in your life, and you went from a testimony and coming to Christ with Athletes in Action in North Carolina to a moment, a baseball moment on the field. Because baseball, and we've been hearing this at this conference, and we've talked a lot for many years about this, and sports in general, when we let that become our identity, when we let that become our God, we're mixing it up. The priorities are kind of out of whack. And obviously that happens a lot with baseball players. But you went to a moment, I have to imagine something changed. I mean, this is the end of the season, right? You're getting this walk-off hit. And it's 2017, the next year, you know, you're beginning kind of a steady time in the big leagues to become a, you know, a professional catcher. What did you see change as your major league career started to evolve and started to become, "Oh, okay, I'm going to be in the big leagues now"? Like, did you see a sense? I've heard a couple players tell me they've been able to play freely when they understood where their identity was found, and they understood that Christ could be with them in the middle of a baseball game and not just, you know, on Sundays or at Bible studies.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that I would imagine you never truly conquer. At least for me, you know, it's a constant battle. I mean, whether it's baseball or, you know, not getting distracted, but family, yeah. You know, family life can speed up on you. So I think it's been a real gradual thing for me. Slowly, you know, I was talking about today in one of our small groups at PAO.
Yeah.
When you're in the moment and day to day, it's still a battle. But I think for me, when I at least think about the big picture, you know, the identity piece, like you talked about, is I know I'm a child of God. And I think it was Matt Chandler was talking about that today. That's the only thing in life that nobody can take from me. And I think that as I've gotten older and, you know, I would hope a little wiser, I've learned that bit by bit. I don't know that, you know, I mean, I really struggled this season, especially I got off to a really bad start this season. And there were times where I looked at my wife and I'm like, why am I playing this game? Like, it's so hard. And, you know, it's like, I'm just struggling. And you know, I look back on this year and when I think about the year, I don't think about the struggles. I think about this was probably the most fun year of my career. And a big part of that is Christ and my identity in Christ. You know, I struggled personally, but this was the first time I went to the playoffs and we had an incredible year as a team. And, you know, when we got traded over to Miami, year one was rough. I mean, it was rough for our family. It was rough on the field. And
yeah.
And so after year one, my wife and I were like, because we went in that trade happened, we're like, okay, I mean, I guess this is where the Lord wants us. And after year one, it was like, Lord, are you sure you want us here? Like, we don't really know what's going on right now. But, you know, it took 2 years for us to see the Lord's plan. And it's just when you're on, you know, kind of the other side of it, it's just really, really cool and really gratifying for sure.
Yeah, and your manager last year, Skip Schumacher, he was on this podcast in 2022 when he was with the Cardinals as a coach. And when I saw him get the job and knowing when we had talked to him about how important his faith was, that's pretty cool. And then kind of can, you know, kind of seep down into the building of a culture of a team. Obviously, you haven't played with the Cardinals, but did you sense that like there was a culture shift happening in year two with Miami? And obviously, that doesn't always translate to wins, but in this case, it helped.
Right.
It did translate to wins, and you got to the playoffs.
Yeah. So actually, Skip got hired, I don't maybe a week or two before PAO last year, and the Cardinals have a great contingency at PAO each year. So I was asking Adam Wainwright, Matt Holliday, you know, a lot of people that knew Skip, and that's all you, I mean, heard nothing but good things. And, but to your point, it was very evident how important his faith was to him. Just in the way that he managed our team. I mean, it's pretty rare to, for a manager to be going to chapel sessions on Sunday, and he was there just about every Sunday. And it's just, you know, for me, it's cool. And I've been in the league since, you know, 2016. But for those younger guys that are in that chapel, I mean, to see a major league manager come into chapel is like, okay, like this is accepted. This is okay for me to come here. It's just, you know, a safe space. So, but yeah, Skip was awesome. And like I said, I mean, it was the most fun year of my career. So, and he was a big part of that.
You know what else was cool? Was on May 3rd, 2023, when Devin Smeltzer is pitching and in comes Jacob Stallings to replace him against the Atlanta Braves. Wait, this guy's a catcher and he's coming in to pitch. And you record a double play and you come up against the MVP, Ronald Acuna, and you strike him out. I'm laughing even saying it out loud. You said it's the most fun year. Just that moment, though, that doesn't happen for a lot of position players. That must have just been one of those, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing here, but this is just way out of whack. What's going on?
There's a few guys that, and I pitched seven times this year, so it
you
was
did.
Like,
yeah, seven appearances is a lot.
There were a few guys that came up when they were up. I was like, okay, I'm scared that they might hit this ball back at me. Like one was Acuna.
Yeah.
But you know, I've played against those guys for a lot of years now, and you know, I look over at the dugout and Ozzie Albies is laughing, and I see Acuna laughing, and you know, we're getting our butts kicked. So it's like
the only reason you're pitching is because you're either winning by a lot or losing by a lot.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know, I go out there and I think that was my second appearance of the year. first one, I felt like I took it too seriously. And, you know, you're losing, like, you never know, like, what kind of momentum just a funny position player pitching outing could have on the next day.
Sure.
So I wanted to have fun with it. And when I saw Albies laughing and Acuna laughing, like, I was like, oh, man, this is fun. Like, let's just – and so got him to two strikes. And it's funny. It's, you know, it's just little intricacies of baseball. But me and my catcher, Nick Fortes, like – on the, like, the pitches I was thinking, like, he was, like, curveball, curveball, fastball. So I was, like, two strikes. I just was going to throw it as hard as I could just to try to sneak it by him. And so, yeah, it's
how,
like,
fast is it throwing it as hard as you can?
All I had was 85 miles an hour. Okay. That's all. Or 80, I think it was 85. I can't remember. But
I mean, Greg Maddux got a lot of guys out at 85 miles an hour.
He did.
So,
he
know,
did.
Not impossible.
But, yeah, so I sent the ball over to Acuna. He signed it for me and said, thanks for the K, the strikeout. So, it's, yeah, I mean, it was a funny moment for sure.
Well, it reminds me of Brett Phillips. I don't know if you know Brett, but he was in the league for a while. I think he's still playing. And he was on this show a few times. And he just kind of – I don't know. He adopted this motto of baseball is fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was a guy that would get in occasionally and pitch as a position player as well. But just the idea of baseball being fun, that can be hard sometimes because it's your job and because you have to take it seriously and you want to win as many games. And it's not fun to lose per se. But you remember, this is a game that we, both of us, started playing probably when we were 5 or 6 years old, or maybe even earlier.
It's hard. Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's definitely hard to keep that perspective when it's your job. It's even harder to keep that perspective when it's your job and you're struggling. And I think that's when it's hardest for me. Obviously, winning's fun. Obviously, getting the big hit is fun. But kind of goes back to, you know, what we alluded to earlier is just our identity in Christ. And, you know, it's, you know, Brett makes a great point. I mean, if your identity is in Christ, and which, you know, I'm lucky enough that he chose me to be one of those people, it's easier to keep that in perspective. It's not always easy, but it's easier. And, you know, just makes life more enjoyable. You know, if baseball is your identity, I mean, it's such a game of failure. And to go home, you know, getting out, let's just say you're pretty good at it and you're getting out 75 out of 100 times and you're carrying that burden home with you every single night, which I do at times. But, you know, it's tough for sure.
So let's go through a little bit of your journey. You mentioned, you know, you made that debut in 2016. You were drafted by Pittsburgh in the 7th round in 2012 out of North Carolina, but you were actually drafted the year before in 2011 by Cincinnati, but it was the 42nd round.
It doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't exist anymore. And you also had, you know, that 1 year to basically move up from 42nd to 7th. What was that time like in not signing, making that decision? I'm not going to go to Cincinnati. I want to come back. And then the next year being drafted by Pittsburgh, take me back into the mindset, because you were a believer. You said it was early in college, just of making the decision and saying, you know what, this isn't the time. This isn't the right time.
I think a lot went into it, but I think I was a little naive to the professional baseball world. You and I were talking earlier, my dad was a college basketball coach for a long time. So that was the world that I knew was the 4-year graduate college athlete. And I think if I had been a little more aware of you know, just the details of the draft and all that sort of thing, I think I would have given it a little bit more of a thought. But at North Carolina, we got upset my junior year in the regional. We were a national seed, one of the best teams in the country. And, you know, it really wasn't even on my radar to go pro. I wanted to come back and try to have a good year as a team. Or, I'm sorry, we got upset my senior year. My junior year, we got beat in Omaha. We were one of the final four teams, and we had just had a great year, and we had a great team coming back. And I just wanted to go back and try to win a national championship. And
that's cool.
That's just all I really knew. We had a great team Bible study, a great group of guys at North Carolina. So that went into my desire to go back for sure. But just growing up in that college home, and that's all I really knew. So I was a little naive to the professional world.
All right. So you mentioned your dad. What was it like to be the son of a, I guess, a prominent basketball coach? If you're coaching on the D1 level, people know who you are, but you end up playing professional baseball. What was the dynamics like as a kid growing up and being, you know, the son, Jacob Stallings?
Yeah, I mean, people ask me that a lot, and I loved it. I mean, I obviously didn't know any other way. But, you know, I never really felt, a lot of people ask if I felt, you know, pressure to be a good athlete or anything like that, you know, because of who he was. And I never felt like that. I mean, he, you know, it was always, I just wanted to be good because I wanted to be good, you know, and yeah. Got to go on some really cool trips with him. And he had some good teams over the years and got to see some incredible college basketball atmospheres. So, you know, it was, I don't know any other way. I don't know another life without it. So, I miss it. I miss him coaching, but I also don't miss him coaching with sure. the way college athletic landscape is now.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I mean, I enjoyed it so much. And, I was a basketball player going into high school. Like baseball yeah. is just kind of my
second sport
and,
side hobby.
and I was watching a basketball game one night with my dad, an NBA game, Michael Jordan playing. And I kind of looked at him. I was like, Dad, those guys, they don't look like me. They're bigger. They're faster. They're stronger than me.
Yeah.
And, I think that was the first time I kind of, realized that basketball might not be my path. And if anybody knows me, I'm not the fastest guy in the world. So I think I made a good decision, but
did you ever meet anybody kind of famous or whatever that comes to mind, or have any memories being around your dad, whether it was going to a game or even just going to his games as he coached?
Yeah. I mean, I got to meet a lot of people. I think, I like to tell this story. So my dad is good friends with Vince Gill, the country singer.
Okay.
Vince knew someone on Barry Weinberg. He was the athletic trainer for the St. Louis Cardinals. So when I was in the eighth grade, we got to go on the field during 2 days of Cardinal batting practice. And, you know, so we're on the field, and Barry comes over. He's talking to my dad. He's calling players over. So I get to meet Albert Pujols, J.D. Drew, Scott Rolen, Tony La Russa comes over the first day. And I was a catcher, and my favorite player was Mike Matheny. And Mike doesn't come over the first day. And so Barry finds out that I'm a catcher. The second day, Mike comes over, and Mike's a believer. And
yes.
I don't know if you know him, but he's locked in. He's playing that day, so he doesn't talk a whole lot, but, you know, asks me, you know, I'm a catcher, you know, whatever, whatever. Goes, leaves, very nice, goes, hits BP, and I'm just like, man, I just met my favorite player, Mike Matheny. This is so cool. And after he hits BP, he comes back over and gives me his bat, and I still have his bat to this day. It's wow. It's at my parents' house. And
that's great.
So, you know, I like to tell that story because I really believe that Mike kind of changed my path. I mean, I just became in love with baseball after that. And I actually told him that we were playing the Royals when he was the manager. I wrote him a note, and you know, he's like, you know, anyway. So now I told him that story, and we have formed a little bit of a relationship over that. But just a life changing moment that you never, you know, he probably never would have thought that. But here
that's
we are.
Amazing, and it all happens because of like a Vince Gill Cardinals trainer batting mm-hmm. practice connection. I call those little God winks, you know, yeah, all the little 100%. Connections that the Lord kind of puts in our path and allows us to have those experiences. I want to ask you about one more thing. In 2021, you won a gold glove. That's a big deal when you win a gold glove. You're the best at your position playing defense. What was that experience like, and what was your reaction when you found out that you were the guy that got the gold glove?
Yeah, I mean, we loved our time in Pittsburgh. We had an amazing community of for my wife Amy Beth, friends, wives. They had an amazing Bible study, and you know, we just all came up through the system together, formed those relationships, me with my teammates. And
yeah,
so you know, 2021 was my last year, and but just in general, the Gold Glove was was and is kind of the one award. I used to think when I was a kid, I was like, maybe if they DH for me, maybe if they hit for me, I could just play defense. Maybe I could win a Gold Glove.
There you go.
Unfortunately, that's not really how it works.
No,
but,
no.
It was the award that I felt like, you know, probably the highest personal achievement that I feel like I could achieve in the game. And to be able to do it was certainly rewarding. A lot of hard work went into it. It wasn't an easy year for us. We were not a very good team. So, you know, having the personal goals while your team is struggling is challenging.
Yeah,
for
sure.
Easy.
No way. Yeah.
But you know, it was, but you know, from the same standpoint, if I'm being 100% honest, during that year, it was probably a little bit of an idol for me. I mean, at times it was above me achieving that goal was probably above God in some ways. And when I won it, I was able to look back and realize it, which was a really cool moment for me. Like, because, you know, idols, and that's never really been something that I feel like I struggle with, you know. And when I won it, you know, I was obviously very happy, very excited, very thankful to God to get to experience that. But
sure,
on the other side of it, when I didn't win it the next year, and I really wasn't very good, at least metrically, defensively, I was like, man, looking back, it's like I was putting that above God. And so it's probably not the answer you were expecting to hear, but it was a dream come true to win it. I mean, it was incredible. I still have it in my house. It's dream come true. But it was also a great faith lesson for me, for sure.
I'm not surprised, honestly, at your reaction. I think it's a great award. And, you know, forever you'll be known as Gold Glove catcher Jacob Stallings, mm-hmm. in the sense of a title, if you will. But I do see how that can open your eyes to making sure that you're, you know, that there isn't an idolatry opportunity here to have, you know, that you, okay, this is nice. It's great. It's a trophy. It goes on the stand. Guess what? There's still another year. And like you said, you didn't perform as well the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't win it this year, or you didn't win it last year. So it's like, okay, it's nice, take the award, but if that's where I put my identity, well, you won one and you lost, you know, eight or whatever many years you've played in the big leagues.
Right.
So that's why it's so important for that firm foundation. So I totally see how that could be a great lesson for you.
It was actually at PAO that I kind of had this realization. I can't remember the pastor's name, but one of the speakers was a pastor who was telling a story about his grandfather. And, you know, just a godly, godly man. And he said one of the questions he asked his grandfather was, how many days of your whole life have you not been in the Word? And I think that the answer was like six, like, or maybe like 12, like his whole life.
Yeah.
And like he knew exactly how many days. And that was the moment that I was like, there were so many nights that I just was up thinking and looking at defensive metrics and like worried if I didn't throw somebody out tonight, I'm not going to win the Gold Glove.
Yeah.
Instead of doing my quiet time. So I really took it upon myself this last year. I wanted to be in the Word every day, and I kept track. I had 5 days in the past 365 that I wasn't in the Word. And,
awesome.
And that was, but it, you know, I wasn't, you asking this question, like, is bringing back all these memories, but
yeah,
just such a blessing, you know, to hear that. And, you know, we're as athletes, we're super competitive. So I'm like, I'm going to do it. I can do this. Like, I want to be in my Bible every day. And there were a couple nights during the season that, you know, I was up thinking about hitting, you know, like we lost, you know, thinking about the game, and
sure.
I go to bed, and
yeah.
The next morning I wake up and I'm like, oh, didn't get in the Word.
Okay,
I didn't have my, it is, but you know, it's just,
if you go make five outs out of 365,
right.
I think you're hitting pretty good. Right. Like that. I think there's never been a player in history that's had that kind of batting average.
Right.
So, I think if we get caught up in numbers and checked boxes on making it this day and making it that day, we'll lose the whole point of like the idea of pursuing Christ and having that relationship with him. So Jacob Stallings, all the best to you, buddy. Thanks for sharing a little bit of your journey, and we'll be cheering you on. Looking forward to watching where God takes you in the future.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
And many thanks to Jacob Stallings, Major League Baseball catcher. We wish him nothing but the best. Some fun stories there talking to Jacob, particularly when he came in and was facing the April National League Player of the Month on May 3rd, right? The hottest hitter in baseball, the guy who ends up going on and winning the MVP, Ronald Acuna Jr., and he strikes him out on four pitches. Like, just an awesome story. Loved how he got the ball, and it's just a cool moment there to have Acuna sign it. And listen, Jacob Stallings is a catcher, so him striking out anybody on a Major League Baseball diamond is a big deal, right? So cool stuff there from Jacob. Appreciate his faith journey as well, and him sharing it today on Sports Spectrum. We thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. You can always find us at our website, sportsspectrum.com, where all of our content can be found. Articles, devotionals, podcasts. Sign up for our daily devotional. It comes right to your email inbox. You can do that there on the website. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter, where all of our content, the podcasts and the articles that were written the previous week, they get all sent to you in one email every Wednesday morning. That's the Sports Spectrum weekly newsletter. So you can subscribe to all of that. It's free, and go to sportsspectrum.com to do that today. Also want to remind you to click that subscribe or follow button on whatever app you're listening to this podcast on so that you don't miss any more conversations like today's with Jacob Stallings and other professional athletes in the world of sports. We also talk to a lot of college athletes and coaches as well. This is what we do here at Sports Spectrum. We keep Jesus in the sports conversation, and we're so glad that you're listening and supporting what we do here at the Ministry of Sports Spectrum. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time right here on the show.